Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Pat Schlarba. Good morning to you, our listener. So normally on Fridays, we welcome Dennis Hart giving a rundown of Central Iowa news. And Dennis is in transit to his home in California and will return next week for all of you that welcome Dennis's news summaries. They will return next week. But first, a little bit about the weather. Today, more rain through the weekend, as much as 5 inches, with highs in the low 60s. So we are entering the autumn rut or breeding season for white-tailed deer. There's lots of movement connected with the rut, and also the farm harvest is underway. So 'tis a season. While driving, watch out for the deer. Watch out for the deer. We do have a power-packed Friday edition for your enjoyment. Today's show will feature Jim Rock with the Ames Story Tree and Lawn Service, Susan Griazda, City of Ames, with her monthly installment of the goings-on in Ames. But first, let's start with a great perspective on Ames, the voices of some of those returning to our fair city. Last weekend, the Ames High Class of 1978 had its 40th class reunion. More than 100 Ames High alumni came together in Ames and discovered why high school reunions can really be worth attending. Emmanuel Rudenberg was a member of the class of 1978, and he took a recorder with him to the reunion to bring KHOI some of the insights that were shared, ranging from changes in Ames to reflections on the maturing process that comes after 40 years of adulthood. Let's listen in.
Hey, Nick, get your good mug over here.
Why?
You don't want to take your picture.
This is Emmanuel Rudenberg. This is 1978 class reunion. We are at the American Legion on Main Street. I've got Beth Staggs Fox here, the mother of the organizing.
Hi, everyone. From the Ames High class of 1978, it's been 40 years since we went to Ames High.
I really like the old photos of Ames. Where did you get all those old photos from?
The Ames Historical Society will make that for any class and bring it to you. And it's been a lot of fun watching it throughout the evening.
Beth, once again, thank you.
I'm very thankful that everyone could come out and have a great time. I think people enjoyed getting back together with even grade school classmates.
Steve Edwards here. You're in...
Here in Ames, and I work in Nevada, and we've got a lot of Ames people who turned out, and people from all over the U.S. and from Germany and from Africa. This is the class of 1978, the high school reunion here in Ames, and we did a charitable drive. We raised quite a bit of money. We did a food pantry that's been helping the Ames residents for 35 years. A little over 18,000 people are probably going to be served this year. And we raised $3,100.
Wow.
So this will feed a lot of families.
And what happened to your face tonight?
I made the mistake of challenging people. If they raised $1,000, then I'd let somebody in the class shave off my mustache and beard. And they doubled that and then some. And now I'm half naked and
you look all right. Thank you, Steve. Maybe we'll see you in 5 years.
That would be wonderful.
There you go. For you. For that fifth grade, Emmanuel.
Marla Evans Gonzalez here.
I come from Kansas City. So this has been the best reunion. I've got a whole lot of new friends that I grew up with that I didn't even know I had. After 40 years, I think people are finally starting to see each other as people and not as jocks or brainy kids or whatever. We don't have those cliques anymore. It's just people. And I think we're finding common ground. And we're finding out that there are an awful lot of people that maybe we weren't friends with in high school that we're friends with now or we could be friends with now. And I think that's what makes this one the best for me. So it's pretty great. Yeah. 40 years is a long time, but Ames is still home. All the people we're talking about, when you come home after 40 years, where are the places or what are the things that you have to do that make you feel like I just came home? And I stopped for a Made Right. I haven't had a Made Right in almost 40 years. It was wonderful. It was just like I remember it. That's what brings you home.
I came in the other day from San Antonio, and this was absolutely, totally awesome.
Mark Sogard here.
I came for the 30th, and I won't miss them. They're just amazing. We got a tour of the high school, and it's our last chance to be in the building. And actually, that was the very first time in my life, first and last time, that I actually stood in the band room. So, and of course, we got to walk through the stinky tunnel.
Yeah, the stinky tunnel. Yeah. John McQuarrie here.
I'm currently from Kalamazoo, Michigan. And I'm the assistant news director at the CBS affiliate there in Kalamazoo. Today, we had golf in the morning, and it was so much fun to get to play golf with people that we haven't seen in, well, for me, it's been 30 years. We went on a tour of the high school. We walked through the halls and kind of looked around. And while some of it was the same, the high school had really changed a lot. My home room was in the cafeteria. The cafeteria's gone. It's a weight room now. It's like it's a gym room, and the old school's going to maybe go away, and it's a little disappointing. But you know what? Ames High was a leader in education at the time, and that school was built as a model for other schools around the country. I'm sure the new school will be that model, too. And it will probably be a much better thing for our youth of the community.
Thanks, John. Really enjoyed seeing you and playing golf with you today. If you're in Minneapolis, come see me, buddy.
All right, man. Thank you very much. It's just so great to see people and hear everybody's stories and see how successful everybody is. It's incredible.
Yeah, I was.
Gail White.
Gail helped with the event.
This has been a really fun time. It was fun to meet up with people that I didn't even know in high school.
It was a lot more relaxed atmosphere than some of the earlier reunions.
We're all concerned about where our parents are now. You're asking, are your parents still living? And you realize it's not all about us anymore. You know, our lives have taken on a whole new direction when you've got your kids growing up and now you're taking care of your parents and we're all comparing notes, and it was really a great time.
Gretchen Potter Hauser, one of the key organizers here.
I went to Ames High, I went to Iowa State and did my bachelor's and then worked and then went back and worked on my master's and then worked, and kids came along, and there wasn't really a compelling reason to leave the best town in the world.
Nice.
To raise your kids somewhere else. We just stayed right here in Ames.
Oh.
Now our kids are gone, so that's a different dynamic. But the 40th reunion, it's a lot different because, you know, it seems like at the 10th and the 20th, everybody's checking up to make sure they can show their prowess or
right.
what have you. And
right.
this was just a community of people getting together and
right.
saying, hey, how's life and how do you feel?
Right.
You get to the 40th, you know, it was more of a checkup from the neck up. So at any rate, normally the guys get together and they all go golfing. And so we did an art activity for the women up at the Somerset Clubhouse in North Ames. And oddly enough, an area that wasn't even around when we were in high school. So we got together and we had brunch and painted flower pots. Some of the women painted fall foliage decor and some painted spring decor and what have you. But I think the thing that was the most fun is we had brunch with one another while we were painting, and it was just getting caught up with one another. I got to spend some time with some people that I didn't really hang out with when I was in high school, but really I felt blessed that I got to develop a relationship with them. Perhaps we'll be staying in touch till we see one another again in 10 years.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gretchen. It was nice to talk and get to know you some more. Like you said, it was fun to get to know other classmates that you don't always had time to get to know in high school. And it's a little more casual now. So, yeah. All right. Thank you, Ben.
Well, you are welcome.
I live in Ames. I never left Ames, so I've been here forever, hometown. So it's really nice for me because I get to see a lot of people that I lose track with since we have scattered and we're kind of a close class. And I think that was proven out tonight by the turnout.
And how part of the organizing committee, I got to tell you this, you are a dead ringer for Bill Murray.
You're like the 10th person to say that to me this weekend, buddy.
That's all right, that's all right. You know, I wish I had his money.
Jim Ellis lives in Champaign, Illinois.
Cool reunion. It was great. It was good to see everybody. It was a lot of fun. Let's do one in 5 years.
I'm from Ankeny. Yep. And we had a great time tonight.
All right. All right. Thanks, guys.
Those are some of the voices from Ames High School class of 1978, the alumni who came together in Ames last weekend for their 40th year reunion. They were recorded by Emmanuel Rudenberg, who is a member of that class. Thanks, Emmanuel. That was Jerry Rafferty from 1978, Baker Street. Thanks, Emmanuel. Since the 1980s, I've had the good fortune to know Jim and Suzanne Rock, and I've watched their kids grow up, have kids of their own, and through it all, have appreciated his tree service for here in Ames in Story County. And for the last few years, word has spread of an affliction to ash trees, and policies were implemented to discontinue bringing firewood across state lines, then making it illegal to take firewood to state parks, and all with the desire to curtail the spread of the emerald ash borer. So when I learned it had been identified in Ames, I asked Jim to come to the KHOI studios to share what he knew about this new threat to shade trees in Ames and Story County and to Iowa. Hey, welcome to Local Talk. Jim Rock with Ames Story Tree and Lawn Service. So you really are a man of the community.
Yes, sir.
Everybody I know has a backyard and a front yard. And you're a pretty key guy. And we're going to focus on the emerald ash borer today. Okay. Tell us about that critter.
Okay. Emerald ash borer is an Asian beetle that came over here, we suspect, in some packing material back in the early 2000s. It infected Detroit immediately and wiped out all the ash trees in Michigan. It went down to Indiana, all through the Midwest, wiping out trees as it went, and which is lucky for us, unlucky for them, because the doctors were able to isolate it, find ways to fight it. So we have a really good chemical that we use, emamectin benzoate. And it can be injected in the tree. It only affects that tree. It doesn't affect the nature around it. It doesn't affect animals. Doesn't affect pets, kids, nothing else. All it does is inject that tree and kills any bug that is eating on that tree.
Okay, so when you say bugs, is that the caterpillars or what's happening? How is this bug attacking those trees?
What it is it's a beetle. And the beetle flies in the air, and so it lands on the top of the tree and eats leaves and mates up there and then lays their eggs on the top of the tree. So when the tree gets infected, no one can see this. It's not something that, unless we're up in the very top, is the only way to be able to see it. We looked at one last week that from the ground you could not see that there was anything wrong with it. When they got in the tree to start trimming it, there was very obvious emerald ash borer in tree. So it's very important that we treat all our ash trees that we want to keep. And if we don't want to keep them, that's fine. They need to be cut down. Otherwise, the tree gets very weak. It's going to be a hazard. Yeah. It's going to be falling apart very quickly. There will be no way to rig it down like we normally rig all of our trees down, take one branch at a time type of thing and rig it away from the houses and garages and fences and wires. It will be too weak to rig off of. So it needs to be dealt with today as soon as possible.
And you know a lot about ash trees. Why are ash trees relevant, significant to the Ames community?
Well, ash trees were a big part of our replanting effort after the Dutch elm disease went through and killed all the elm trees. That's when I got into tree service back in 1975, was we were here contracted to remove the dead elm trees through Ames. So they replanted with multiple species. Silver maples was one. Ashes was one. And ashes are a very good tree for us. They have been a very good tree for us. They're hardy. They're native. They do seed themselves, so there's more ash trees than were actually planted by man. There's a lot of ash seeds, and they just scatter everywhere, and people just ended up with ash trees. Mm-hmm. But they've been a very good tree for us, good shade tree, good solid, sturdy shade tree. And so it's a shame to lose them. So if you have a nice ash tree, well, it needs to be injected.
How'd the ash tree get its name? Have you heard this?
I don't. No. Do you know?
I've heard people, the farm wives with their cook stoves, realize they like to use ash because it doesn't create a lot of ash compared to oak or walnut or some of the other woods that you would put in your cook stove.
Oh, that's neat.
So, yeah, it you won't be scooping a lot of ash out of your cook stove if you burn ash, is what I understand.
That's neat.
So your tree service, you've been a part of this community for a number of years, and I'm sure a lot of people look to you and your Ames Story Tree and Lawn Service for assistance. Has the phone been ringing off the hook, or where are we at with the emerald ash borer here in Ames?
Things are really crazy. More right now because of the storms that we've been having and all the blowdowns that we've been having. People are getting a lot of problems with their trees, a lot of stuff on the ground, on the houses, on all this with all these storms. We've been having this crazy weather, but the emerald ash borer is certainly a part of that. People are deciding maybe they do want to treat their trees, or maybe they want to remove them, and that's appropriate. One or the other needs to happen.
So what's the time frame from when the emerald ash borer lays her eggs until you've got a standing, what we call a snag or a dead tree?
I think it's about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. there's a time delay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. But once it's in there, after a couple of years, the tree is pretty much not salvageable anymore. It's the top's completely dead. And if you were to inject a tree like that, you would have a really ugly, nasty-looking tree.
So I think I understand where the beetle larvae, the worms, are in the cambium.
The phloem.
The phloem. So the lifeblood of the tree
exactly.
is kind of
– It cuts off.
Cuts it, yeah, just – there's no flow
right.
of energy, so the tree dies. And we've seen the galleries of the larva from
yes.
the Dutch elm disease, you know, I remember. So now we're seeing kind of a similar pattern.
Yes.
Once that bark is sloughed, you'll see the wood had right into the wood is these galleries or the chewed
Yes.
areas where those
now these are
those
a little different because they are just a beetle. They don't have the fungus that the Dutch elm disease had, so
okay.
They actually die slower. So the one we saw last week, you could actually see the gallery in there, and the tree was trying to react to it and trying to grow around that gallery because it doesn't know any better, and so it's pushing the bark off that wound, and there was just one beetle track that we've seen, and so it does take a few years to kill it, where the Dutch elm disease was pretty much the same year.
Yeah, and I might back up just a little bit. As Indiana and Illinois, Wisconsin were inundated with the emerald ash borer and dying ash trees, there was a suspension of any movement of wood into like our state parks and things.
That's correct.
It was necessary in the hope of curtailing its movement west.
That's correct.
And was it 4 or 5 years ago it kind of showed up in Iowa?
That's correct.
And then county by county, we're probably up to about half the state.
And that's probably true, maybe even a little more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But chances are it's going to impact every county.
It will.
Before it's
It will spread, all through the state.
Yeah, I think I noticed some dead ash trees over in Boone County maybe 3 years ago. So it was all around us.
It has been. It's been all around us in Boone County, Story City. They're both really infected now, and it's like say it's been about 3-4 years that they were diagnosed with it, and so this is we're just starting to see it here in Ames now.
Did I understand correctly that you had diagnosed it here in Ames, probably for the first time? Recently?
I didn't diagnose it. It was the state of Iowa agriculture people that someone found it, and they didn't say who. State of Iowa. Found it and diagnosed it and said this is here, and then it was just last week that we found it in one of our trees that we were going to trim.
Oh.
and we said yeah, you don't want to trim this, either want to inject it or cut it down, and they didn't want to inject it, so we're cutting them down.
Once it started, if the top of the tree shows impacts of the adults and when's it too late to try and treat?
Well, it's really a personal decision, but they say 50%, but to me, 50% of the tree is dead, and that's the top 50, that's too late.
Yeah,
it's just too bad. I would say again, just to inject them now. If you want to inject it, a tree, just do it now. And if you don't want to inject it, just go ahead and cut it down. You're going to have a short window here, you know, maybe a couple years to get all the trees cut down that we want to cut down. Otherwise, it's going to be really dangerous.
Yeah. Well, as a tree man or arborist here, Jim Rock, what would be your feelings on what's an appropriate tree to replace the ash trees with?
Oh, see, that's the key, is there are so many trees. We don't have to pick just a maple or just an oak or just a locust. Or we have so many choices. And what I use is Dr. Jeff Iles' list at Iowa State University. He's got one out there that it just has all the trees and their characteristics. And you can also go to your local nursery and look at their choices and see what they have and see what you like, and maybe go around and try to figure out what kind of tree you want. But we have a lot of choices, and diversity is the key. We should know that now. You know, after having all the elm trees die, now all the ash trees are going to die. We should know to diversify our portfolio here.
Yeah. Good advice. Gosh, is there anything else?
Well, one thing I would like to stress is if you do replace your tree, to make sure and dig it out of the pot. When you go to plant that tree, dig it out of the pot. Make sure that whoever plants that tree for you, if you don't plant it yourself, dig it out of the pot and look at the roots. Make sure the top of the root flare is out of the ground. Don't bury that whole root ball 6 inches below ground. The way they come from the nursery is way too deep in the pot. That's just the way all the nurseries sell them. That's just the way they come. And then try to get rid of those circling roots. What I do is I box it. I cut all four sides of the ball off, so those roots will be straight when they grow back out.
Oh, right. So they just don't keep growing in circles.
Exactly.
I
see so many trees just fall over, you know, as one unit because they haven't done that. They've just popped it in the ground the way it was in the pot and watered it, and the tree tried to grow, but it's grown in a circle and it can't support itself.
So basically knife the root, the circular roots.
I use a handsaw, and they're actually completely circled around the inside of the pot and right on the outside, and you'll see the roots all grown in the circle around the outside of the pot. So, you know, cut all those off and then find your root, the top of your root zone. Find that top of that root zone, that top order of roots. Make sure they're at the top of the ground.
Put that flush with the ground.
Yes.
I guess it sounds like don't plant too deep and don't plant without sawing through the root mass to ensure that those roots spread out in the circumference rather than around and around.
Yeah, cut the outside of that root ball off so those circling roots don't continue. Of course, you know, make sure and locate first. You don't want to dig into an electric line or a phone line or a cable line or something like that. Dig the hole three times bigger than the root ball, and you might have to stake it up for a year, but don't leave it for more than a year.
Yeah. Well, those are great advice. You see, Dr. Jeff Iles' publication with the Extension Service that I can put on our website.
Yes.
And coming from a man that loves his trees.
That's correct.
And all your life, and it's just been great having you here today, Jim Rock, with the Ames Story Tree and Lawn Service. Thanks for the advice. Enjoy the shade. And enjoy your trees.
Thanks, Pat.
Ka, Dance of the Monarch by Honeywise. And you are listening to Local Talk. This is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. There is a Hawk Watch scheduled for Sunday, October 7th, at the High Trestle Bridge. Now, I know we got rain in the forecast, but one thing we've learned is as soon as the rainfall discontinues, there will be a mass movement of raptors going down the flyway. Now, this is the Des Moines River flyway, but there is going to be an event at the High Trestle Bridge. Now, that's between Madrid and Woodward, and it's quite a scenic spot, if you will. We're going to be on the west edge from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. That's Sunday, October 7th. And come out and learn about raptors. And actually, with the water levels that there are, there's going to be pelicans and there's going to be a lot of shorebirds and things that are going to be working that area of flooded Sailorville watershed. That typically it's just a river going underneath the High Trestle Bridge, but there's quite a bit of water this year. So if you've got some time and want an outdoor adventure, Sunday would be the destination, west side of the High Trestle Bridge from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Raptor enthusiasts will be sharing their excitement, and we're going to see a lot, but it may be between showers.
Before he shot, you hear his side of story. Dirty looks and bitterness, violence and harassment, handed to a man who can't understand what he's done wrong. A true, genuine officer, stigmatized despite his work, just trying to protect his people. Triggers, how quickly riot protests. We can't ignore the deepest roots of our problems, though we try our best. We must overcome the civil unrest. Broken windows signal threats, even for the innocent. Building a distrust towards those supposed to keep us safe. Though born of a different race, shouldn't suffer systemic disgrace. Did you hear their side of story? Angry, hateful ignorance is destructive and dangerous. How can we discriminate when we're all one human race? Let us quit living in fear. Let us earn an understanding here and listen to all sides of story. Riot, protest. We can't ignore the deepest roots of our problems, so we try our best. We must overcome the civil unrest. We've seen grand misfortune in historic disproportion. Let it slide right on by, carried through the years, hidden in disguise. Have we as a society constructed a reality oppressing groups of our people? And yet still on the other side.
Now you've been listening to Honeywise. That was Civil Unrest. Interesting that I know the guy who made the flute at the start of that song. Mark T. Nelson, he's a member of the Ames community, one of the people who brings good music to a lot of musicians. probably would make a good local talk program. And our engineer here, Aladdin, is I think it's good to have opportunities to strengthen our community through communication. And what brings you to this venue as our engineer, Aladdin? It's just something I've always wondered.
Well, you know, Pat, I happened here as an engineer just by walking by one day and peeping in the window and wondered, what are they doing in there?
Yeah.
But I grew up listening to community radio / talk radio, not the kind of talk radio that we hear mostly today,
oh,
which is politics.
Coast?
Yeah, in Philadelphia.
I see.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of politics and politics and politics, but yeah. It was, you know, usually some local talk. And, of course, I grew up before we had internet and cable and all of that kind of stuff. So
you're a young man, but I guess you are kind of dating yourself. You're probably in your 30s. Yeah.
But it was, it was a little different than, you know, just the music station. I listened to those, too, but it was, you know, just something different. I think the interest I had back then and even now, here, my thought is, in this country, you know, our culture is kind of formed by media. You know, we watch, listen, and become here. And community radio like this one, KHOI, I think it's a way to contribute to that fabric to add a thread to the fabric of our culture.
Yeah.
You know, that not just we hear something, but, you know, it's local people talking about things local.
That's what's in your heart.
We're
going to be going into fundraising, all the listeners out there. If you feel that strengthening community through this communication service, it's great to have your assistance here.
Thank you.
I just thought I would take just a moment, introduce a voice that's right here in the studio. Why not include you, too?
Appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet. And we've also strengthening community. Let's welcome Susan Griasta.
Good morning.
The city of Ames. Yes, good morning. And what's happening around our fair city these days?
Well, you know, every month I come and
and
try to fit all the activities of the city in a little tiny 10-15 minute amount. It's kind of hard. October is a very busy month. We've got a lot going on. Every month is busy anymore.
But particularly this time of year?
Yeah, fall can be really busy. As you know, this will serve as a reminder. As you know, there are elections coming up in November, and one of the things that we've noticed that is somewhat problematic around the area is violations to the sign ordinance. We actually have a sign ordinance in the city of Ames, and it has to do with the placement of signs. We don't care what your signs say. You can put whatever you want out. You have to remember to keep them off the public right of way. And for most people, the public right of way is the space between the sidewalk and the curb.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a sidewalk, it's usually about 10. It's usually from the curb about 10 foot towards your home.
I see.
And what the problem is with signs in the public right of way is one, that there's a lot of infrastructure under the right of way, and we may need to get in there, but also because it can affect visibility.
Right.
So as you're driving,
safety is always a prime consideration.
So just remember, you know, these can be, we have a lot of signs of proud parents who have students involved in activities. We have people that want to show support for a particular cause or candidate. Mm-hmm. And those are great. We think those are great, and people have every right to put those out. Keep them in your property. And then there actually is a 90-day limit for a temporary sign. After 90 days, you need to take it out.
Okay. Yeah. Good to know.
So that's just a reminder. I'm sure you have seen as well, those signs are popping up. And you know what? The city of Ames actually has its own sign out there. We're promoting community solar. So we love to see those signs all over town, encouraging others to get involved in community solar. And if you have questions on how to participate or become a community solar user, just go to cityofames.org/solar and get some more information on that. As soon as we have enough buy-in to this community solar farm, we will actually break ground. And we're getting close.
Wow, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, we're at about a 60% buy-in, and we need to be at about 80%. So we continue to work on that project. I know that our electric services director, Don Com, has been right in this station before talking about the community solar project. And I wasn't going to talk about it today, but other than just put in a plug, for more information, go to cityofames.org/solar.
Good to know.
Some other things happening. Let's just get right into October. The weather is changing, and I know that I talk about this all the time. For the last few months, I've brought up yard waste free days only because we get so many calls about this.
Oh, yeah.
So these are the 4 days in fall where you can take your leaves at no charge to the yard waste free site, which is called Chamness Technology. It's a 400 Friel Drive. That's in East Ames. You head out on Lincoln Way, but we ask that you enter the site via South Dayton.
Okay, so find South Dayton and then...
And then you go on to Southeast 5th Street and exit onto Lincoln Way.
I see.
So
okay.
If you're driving east on Ames, you're going past the Resource Recovery Plant, out that direction. It's kind of industrial, and you're looking for South Dayton, and then you're kind of coming around.
Yeah, so it is on the east side of the Skunk River across the bridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Those dates are October 20th, the first one, so that's coming up. And I've definitely seen the leaves are starting to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah, October 20th is the first Saturday, November 3rd, November 17th, and December 1st. So mark your calendars. Those are on our website if you didn't get those, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we know they're well used. We know people like them. I do get calls this time of year for people who particularly live in our more established neighborhoods where they have mature trees. They can get a lot of bags of yard waste. And this is a great opportunity to get those disposed of. Chamness does do composting, so that's what happens to them. And you cannot, in Ames, you don't put your yard waste in the trash. That's not how we dispose of it.
Yeah.
Some other things coming up. For the last 6 years, the fire department has held an open house. So on October 13th is the 6th annual fire station open house. That's at fire station number 1. Do you know where that's located?
And where would that be? I hope you're going to share that with me, because this sounds – I bet if you've got kids or grandchildren, this would be
great.
A great
destination. It is great. It's an all-ages event. Yeah. Fire station number 1 is 1300 Burnett.
Sure.
A visual on that one?
Sure.
Yeah.
Enough.
There are 3 fire stations in Ames. You seem surprised.
Well, I live in the country, but
okay.
But it is good to know. How many – firefighters on staff? Could you give me an approximation?
Oh, I think we have around 50.
50. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we staff 3 stations. The first one is fire station number 1. That's headquarters. That's at 13th and Burnett.
Mm-hmm.
And very nice station that opens up for this open house. The open house will be primarily in the morning, 9 a.m. to noon. There is a football game that day. The time has not been announced, but we think you could do both.
Oh, yeah.
You could definitely get to the fire station open house and then head over to the football game. You'd be fine. Lots of things are happening at the fire station. Again, it's all ages, so we do fire safety. You can tour a fire truck. You can learn more about fire prevention. And it's a great opportunity for kids and really all ages to meet firefighters, to ask questions.
Well, tell them thanks.
Yeah.
I mean, for their service. And there is one on South Duff.
Yeah.
Kind
so
of across from Lowe's.
That's fire station
kind of
number 3.
In the loop, so to speak, to get to the athletic field.
So that's number 3 is on South Duff. Have you figured out where number 2 is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to think about it. Must be one in West Ames or?
Kind of. So on Welch Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a big university.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they do provide service to the university. And in fact, Iowa State University is a great partner in fire prevention and helps to fund about a quarter of our fire department because we do provide service and fire services to the campus.
Yeah. And I remember just a bit of trivia at that fire station when it was constructed, there's quite a bit of building underneath pavement.
So I didn't even know that.
Yeah, and they had a big retaining wall that was under construction, and it, I guess in a rainy autumn, similar to what we've got these days, but back then it was a big deal that wall caved in.
Wow.
And then there was a bar down there called the Cave-In. I don't know if it's still around, but that was back in the 1770, and yeah, the things we take for granted, not only the facilities, but also the people that we rely on.
Well,
so that's a good one. That
we
would be
have
a,
three
a
full service fire stations that are operating 24/7. There are always always have people in them, and of course, ready to respond to any emergency situation.
Well, sorry about my bit of trivia there, but what is more important? What else is happening?
Well, we have some other meetings coming up. Actually, if you're interested, we have a nutrient reduction open house, and that sounds kind of complicated. But our water and pollution control facility, which is actually located just outside of Ames, that is the plant where the sewage goes to. Mm-hmm. So that's where we are treating basically wastewater, and then it is returned back into the waterway.
Yeah.
There are a lot of rules and regulations involving water pollution control facilities returning water to waterways.
Oh, as there should be.
Absolutely. And we are under some guidelines, some policy to reduce. It's called nutrient reduction. If you're interested, if this is a topic, and again, it sounds really complicated, it really is about reducing the amount of nutrients that are returned to waterways after treatment. If you're interested in that, there are some open houses scheduled to discuss our nutrient reduction strategy. So on Wednesday, October 10th, at Ames Water Plant, which is the new water plant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, out on 13th Street.
Uh-huh, on 800 East 13th Street. There'll be an open house from 2:30 to 4, which is a come-and-go kind of opportunity to look at the information that they have available, and a second one from 6:30 to 8, where you can come in and ask questions of staff. And this is how could two different things. This is looking at the water pollution control facility, again, the facility that is located close to the waterway, really quite far east of Ames. Mm-hmm. And one concept would look at how you could modify the plant to reduce nutrient. And then the other option looks at alternatives in the Skunk River watershed to reduce nutrients.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of nutrient reduction discussion going on in the farming community.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, they always kind of deflect, but the urban areas have their shortcomings also. So everybody's kind of pointing fingers back and forth. And yet, it does give some sort of confidence that the urban community is getting it. And hopefully the agriculture community will follow.
Yeah, this is a partnership, and it was going to require reduction from all contributors.
Yeah.
And so our water department director, John Dunn, has an important notice that he says there is no single solution to this problem. He writes, while point sources such as wastewater treatment plants similar to Ames Water and Pollution Control Facility are a small fraction of the total nutrient load, it is important that we do our part.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Yeah. So that's coming up. That's a good one. Also, we've had some unexpected vacancies in our city boards and commissions. Uh-huh. As I'm sure you're aware of, we have different volunteers that staff things like the Library Board of Trustees, Parks and Recreation Board, Planning and Zoning Commission. Those are all volunteer positions.
Volunteer positions.
And those boards and commissions make recommendations to the city council. It's really important. We've ended up surprisingly, with four vacancies that were unexpected before people's terms were up. And so we are seeking volunteers to consider a vacancy in Parks and Recreation, two vacancies on the Ames Human Relations Commission board, and then one in the Planning and Zoning Commission. And so up until Friday, October 12th, you can fill out an application on the City of Ames website, under cityofames.org/boards-and-commissions.
Mm-hmm. What a great way to contribute and strengthen the Ames community.
It is a terrific way to get involved.
Right.
And particularly if you have an interest in any of these areas or if you just want to learn more.
Right. And one good thing leads to another.
Yeah. We have great boards and commissions. We have over 200 volunteers that serve on those. And again, they do provide a lot of direction to our council members. Mm-hmm. And they help guide and shape a lot of policy.
Well, I'm sure they do.
So very exciting. As we get closer to November, just remember our town budget meeting begins on Thursday, November 1st this year. It is at 7 p.m. in the council chambers. This is an opportunity for any person who wants to have their input into the budget. It's how we kind of make funding decisions for the next fiscal year. So 7 p.m. on Thursday, November 1st, we always get people that come in with, they have ideas. We would like more funding at this or less funding at that.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
We don't get a lot of actual less funding. It's usually just more funding.
Yeah, right. How about, Yeah, let's prioritize.
Yes, it's all about prioritizing. What, you know, if we redistribute funds, it's a limited amount. So when people come in and say we would want more funding for this, we do ask them, well, where would you like us to
trim?
Yeah, yeah. It's a hard decision. And then I think people understand how complicated it can be because we just don't have new money. It really pretty much is we work year to year on a set amount of money, and that money needs to be distributed in a way that's equitable and fair.
Could I ask you how many years you've been in this role as one of our
That is so interesting because in a week, I will have been here 14 years.
14 years. So this is not your first budget consideration.
No. I've been doing it for a long time.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you.
Do we have room for more?
Well, let's do a few more if you have time.
Sure, absolutely. Just a reminder that the library book sale will happen in November. That's early November before I come back again. So I just like to tell people also on Thursday, November 1st, that book sale starts. The fall book sale is one of the biggest. Our Ames Public Library really is a community treasure. 515 Douglas Avenue. Fall book sale starts Thursday, November 1st and continues all the way through Sunday, November 4th. It's a great way to pick up some bargain books.
Oh, yeah.
We obviously are a community that loves reading. Yeah. Our library is one of the most used libraries in the country.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It is really fantastic.
They really, really provide an incredible service to the Ames community.
Yes. I just remind people that we have a new rebate program. As you know, we have rebates right now through our smart energy rebates, which are electric rebates, where you can get for buying energy efficient appliances, air conditioning systems, you can get a rebate. We have a new rebate that has started that is encouraging food composting. So if you purchase a food composter, you can get up to $50 back on that purchase. And so we don't ask you to buy a particular type of food composter. Just buy a food composter, send the receipts in to us, and Ames residents can receive up to $50 in a cost share program.
And that location, where would they send that or
so
stop
on
in?
On our website.
Okay.
You want to go to cityofames.org/smartwatersheds. Again, it's the idea of all this contributes to a cleaner, greener environment. The Smart Watersheds program is a combination of our public works and our water department working together. Food composting helps us in a lot of different ways. Obviously, keeping food out of our waste stream is a huge help to our resource recovery plant. You're probably aware of our very unique waste-to-energy system in Ames, where all the waste in Storey County is sent to the resource recovery plant, and the burnable portion is sent over to the power plant to be used as fuel. Food does not make good fuel. It tends to be wet and dense. It can actually contaminate some of the other product.
Right.
So we're trying to do what we can to make our waste stream a better fuel source, and that means diverting the food waste.
What a fantastic rebate system.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
One more thing. As we talk about diverting food waste, just remember, once again, Resource Recovery will be hosting, they call it the Great Pumpkin Drop-Off. After Halloween and you have all those pumpkins laying around your house kind of rotting and getting gross, don't throw them in the garbage. We don't want that food garbage. Take them to Resource Recovery, 110 Center Avenue. We will have a huge composting bin where you can put your pumpkins and all your fall harvest vegetables that are starting to go bad, your gourds, your squash, that you've primarily used for decoration, and throw them in the bin.
A zucchini or two.
October 15th to November 15th, because sometimes you buy those pumpkins and they go bad before you're ready.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you, Susan.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Local Talk. This is Pat Schlarbaum, your host, with engineer Aladdin Alkatheri. Thank you, Aladdin. We also heard from Emmanuel Rudenberg with the Ames High Class of 1978. Thank you, Emmanuel. And Jim Rock from the Ames Story Tree and Lawn Service. And Susan Riazda with the City of Ames. Thank you for listening. Local Talk airs today at 7 a.m., noon, and at 5 p.m. here on KHOI at 89.1 FM. Please remember that you can also hear a recording of this show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. Also remember that KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. And today we heard Dance of the Monarch and Civil Unrest by Honeywise. Also, just for the class of Ames High, 1978. The number 7 hit that year, Jerry Rafferty's Baker Street. Our theme song, as always, is backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a show. So if you'd like to try your hand at reporting, we'll train you. Come in and join the Local Talk team. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOY meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.